This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Andrew and enter promo code Andrew at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
What the Tech?
Hey, buddy, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zirin. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Theroux. How you doing, Paul?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Let's pretend we never attempted this 20 seconds before we did it. Andrew did
I'm
not
still
hit
record. Pretty good. How are you?
How are you? I was told to not ask that. I was watching this thing, and they're saying, you shouldn't ask how someone else is. You should always say, how's it been, or something like that, because you really don't want them to tell you how they are.
Yeah, God forbid they actually open up. You know, it's like, actually haven't been going too well.
Tim and I are getting a divorce.
My kids, as it turns out, don't like me very much because I'm kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So thanks for asking.
Yeah. You were in New York last week. We hung out on Friday.
Yes.
It's the first Friday we've ever hung out.
Is that true?
Yeah. First time.
Yeah, that could be. And that is unusual. That's right.
So things did not go smoothly for me after we left. I was fine. And then I got to town and I saw a couple people and they're like, oh my God, you just had a kid. Let me buy you a couple of drinks. And a couple of drinks became four vodka sodas.
Yeah.
And Andrew came home and Andrew feels great. And I'm telling Jess about how great of a time I had. And the more I'm elaborating the story, the more I'm starting to slur.
Sure.
And I'm getting louder and more slurry. And I finally
She's
at one
growling
point
a little bit, you don't know why.
Finally at one point I go, I'm gonna stop now because I can't even understand what I'm saying. That was my evening home after we hung out.
I went down to the Amtrak after we parted. And as you may recall, because we stood out in front of the front board there and we looked at the times, there's two Amtrak Acellas that kind of intersect at New York Penn, right? So there's one going to Boston, then one going from Boston to DC. And they were both listed on time.
Uh-huh.
And so remember that was the day of the big snowstorm up in Boston. And when I got around to the main board, both trains were maybe 10 or 15 minutes late, you know, so it was already starting, you know, I'm like, here we go. And by the time, my train was maybe about 30 minutes late, all told, which isn't terrible.
I would have waited with you if I knew.
No, there's no way to know. No, there's no way to wait. You have to stand in front of the board. There's nothing you can do. And but that New York, the one going to DC from Boston, when I left, it was listed as 2 hours late.
Wow.
Yeah. So you could have had a much more horrible experience than I did.
Yeah, that's horrible.
You know, if you're going in the other direction.
Yeah, that's horrible. 2 hours is it's very long wait. I mean, what time did you get on? Like 7 o'clock, right? 8, 9. That means that.
Yeah, I mean, I got home. It was 11.
Yeah.
You know, by the time I got home.
By the time I got home was 11 also.
Shocking. It was probably in better shape than ever.
We have a lot to talk about. Look what I got here, boys and girls. I have a Windows phone.
What is it?
Do you know what these are? These Nokias?
I've heard of
Nokias?
Them.
Nokias? I've never seen one of these before.
They're knockers.
Knockers. I'm going to talk about my experience with this over the last couple days. You know, it's very different from my last Windows phone experience because I was on such a lower end device.
Yeah.
So
what did you have before? Like a 640?
I had the 640, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a 930, you said, right? Yeah, 930.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 930. And I want to talk about my experience with this because now I have used every one, you know, let's say this is a flagship. You know, let's say it's not, but for the sake of argument, this is a flagship device when it came out.
It definitely is.
Yeah. It's well built. It's not a lower end device. So I have a very... very interesting reaction people have had to this phone that see me with this, and I was shocked by it. So we're going to talk about that and a whole bunch of other things. I got a couple questions for Paul that I was hoping he could answer. Maybe you probably don't have an answer, but you could definitely. I want tech support. Paul, I have a Hadoop question for you.
Okay, I can't help with that too much.
But before we go into that, I want to thank our sponsor, and that's Casper. Guys, don't look at me right now because I have not slept because I was not feeling well the last 2 days, so I did not sleep on my couch. I did not sleep in my on my bed. I slept on my couch because I did not feel well, and I don't want the baby to get sick. So I've had a horrible, horrible experience not sleeping. That's because I'm not on my Casper. Why is Casper so great? Well, for a couple of reasons. One, this mattress comes in a box. It's delivered to you. No problem. Comes in a box. UPS delivers it, or FedEx, whoever they're shipping is. You don't have to schedule a shipping company. You don't have to have some giant brute of a man trying to jam this thing up the flight of stairs and getting stuck halfway. By the way, that has happened to me. I bought a king size bed and it wouldn't fit up my stairs, so I had to return it and get a queen. The last time I got a mattress, horrible experience. With this, it comes in a box. You unload the thing, you put it downstairs. You put it downstairs or upstairs, doesn't matter. It's simple to carry. It weighs like nothing, and you just set it up. It's unbelievable. The best sleep I have ever been getting is on my Casper mattress. If you go to casper.com/Andrew and you enter in promo code Andrew, you get $50 off any mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply. But this is amazing. Two different technologies, latex and memory foam, come together for a better night's sleep. Totally comfortable. The other thing, like, I get really hot when I sleep. And because of the material this is made with, you don't really get hot when you're sleeping. Paul's got a Casper mattress. I have a Casper mattress. You should also. Casper.com/Andrew. Enter in promo code Andrew and get $50 off any mattress purchase. I want to thank Casper for supporting What the Tech and, of course, supporting the GFQ network. One point I forgot to make. 100-day period sleep guarantee. You could sleep on this thing for 100 nights, 100 days, and you return it if you don't want it. Phenomenal. You're going to keep it, though. Casper.com/Andrew. Paul.
Yes, sir.
After that delirious live read that I just did.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. You know what? That is true, though. I have not slept on my mattress. Almost two nights.
Ever or just?
No, two nights. Last night. Yeah. Last night and halfway through the night before. So it's horrible. My kidneys hurt. I don't know if it's because of the mattress or because of my drinking at this point, but I'm not doing so well right now. But let's talk about a couple things. My experience with Windows Phone. So you gave this to me on Friday. I've been walking around with this thing. I have not set up my SIM card on this. So my experience is all Wi-Fi, and I'm trying to do that Wi-Fi thing that we had done a couple of years ago. Do you remember when we tried that, or I was trying that, where I was connecting to different Wi-Fi networks to see how realistic of an idea it is to just use your phone without, you know, a cell company connected to it, just using Wi-Fi. So I connect to different hotspots. I connect to, like, I use Skype on this thing, and I have my Skype number, so I get all my calls on this. But if I go to press, I'm using their Wi-Fi. If I'm going out, I could use a Time Warner Cable free hotspot Wi-Fi or the Comcast free Wi-Fi. That's all around. I've been able to walk around town with this thing just using Wi-Fi and having no cellular coverage. It's great. Wow. Like, I'm just going around town, and it's connected. It's phenomenal. I'm gonna put my SIM in here this week. I just want to see if it was realistic. And it's totally, I mean, it's crazy how well it's approved. You're getting 3G speeds on some of, you know, depending on how far you are from the thing, from the, like, the Time Warner Cable hotspot. But, like, 3-4 megs a second is more than enough to take a call. Everybody that sees this phone says, man, what a good looking phone. And then I hand it to them, and they start playing around with this thing, and they're like, wow, this is cool. What is this? And yeah. You know, like, really, people really think it's funky. They like the idea of it. I have not had anybody tell me, like, oh yeah, this sucks. iPhone owners, Android owners, when they pick the phone up, they actually like it. They're like, oh, this is really cool. Somebody asked me what launcher I'm using on my phone because they thought it was an Android phone.
Right. Someday that will be a legitimate question, and we'll all be saved.
Yeah, the Microsoft launcher. Know? Yeah. That's the answer to this.
Nice.
I've really enjoyed the experience, but I knew the app issue was a problem.
I hear truth coming.
I didn't think it was this bad. Like, yeah. I'm not an app guy. Like,
You're not in denial about this.
No, I'm not like a crazy app guy. Like, I'm not one of these guys that has like 300 apps on my phone. I had the standard apps. the standard stuff that most people have. Obviously, you have the Twitters and you have the Facebook stuff and you have all that stuff, but it's missing a lot of key applications.
I've heard that.
The App Store is like insane. It's all over the place, the store. I was very disappointed. Like, the way that it's sorted out is all over the place. Like, the picks for you are really weird. The apps that they suggest are weird. Like, I was shockingly surprised at.
I mean, the basics are kind of there, you know. And obviously, the OS is pretty solid by itself. I mean, the built-in stuff is there, you know. But it falls apart.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, like the
depth. Because everyone will have the one app, the thing, the whatever, you know, and it's just not there.
I was surprised at that. So searching for things on the App Store and
comically bad, would you say, or just terrible? Oh, God.
Terrible.
Sorry.
Terrible.
Comically bad.
Yeah, comically bad. That is exactly. You know what's comically bad? Their podcast app.
That's why I use Pocket Cast.
So I don't come up, like, barely. It depends on when I search, because sometimes What the Tech comes up, and sometimes it doesn't. If I search Paul Theriault, you come up for, like, things that aren't even connected to you.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
It makes me happy.
And then there's doubles of my podcast now. Somehow, it was somebody else submitted my podcast, so there's, like, two or three versions of the same thing.
Right.
I was really surprised, and obviously the advice from everybody, including people that I know that are at Microsoft, they said, well, don't use the app. Don't use the podcast app, because it's hideous. Other than that, I mean, I really enjoy the phone, but if you don't have the organization and the depth to the App Store, you are not going to be able to survive. It's scary bad. Like, I don't understand how it could be this bad, their App Store. Maybe you could tell me.
And so the people who argue with me that this is not the case are people who do not spend any time in other phones, you know, because it's so obviously terrible, you know, and it has been for a long time. This is not a new condition, but it's a problem.
Like, I'm looking at top paid apps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Movie Maker 8.1. Metro Commander Pro. Right.
Not to be confused with the Microsoft app of the same.
Yeah. Well, that's initially what I thought. I'm like, oh, they're charging you for this? And it kind of does look like it's a Microsoft app. Yeah.
Nope. So Microsoft let them use their name. We don't know why.
And their name is what? Ventrisoft? Something like that, right?
Well, I mean, let them use the Movie Maker name. Like, they, you know.
Metro Commander 8 Pro, Fan Band, Wi-Fi Tool, Phonos, which I guess is like a Sonos.
Yeah, that doesn't work. It's nice.
Okay.
yep.
Pocket Cast, which is a great app. Scan QR code. This is the top paid app, a scan QR code. Amazing Weather HD, Core Music.
Well, so I don't know why you would need a scan QR code app on Windows Phone. You know, on Android, if you want to do dual factor authentication with like the Google Authenticator app, you actually need to download a barcode scanner app first. And it uses that app's, you know, scanning functionality. But it's free, right? And the Microsoft Authenticator app for Windows Phone does not require that download. So,
I mean,
who knows?
Beardify, Grow Your Beard is on there. I could have a Santa beard if I wanted to. I mean, you guys get the point. I don't want to dwell on that too much. But it's really
what
not...
I wasn't hearing in that list was Snapchat.
This is top app. Yeah, this is the top paid. I mean, the free... You got the standards. You got Facebook, Messenger, Pandora, WhatsApp, Instagram beta, which I believe they just released a new beta to that. Kick Messenger.
Did they really?
Yeah. I think last week somebody said that it was an updated beta. Kick Messenger, wow. Netflix.
They hadn't updated that thing in forever.
Amazon, Twitter, Keeper, Spotify. And then it starts getting, you know, Viber. And then you have, like, you know, different chat apps and a PDF reader. And, you know, it just... BBM, you could do BlackBerry Messenger. It has some stuff, but it's like the in-betweens that it's missing. And I don't know, are they aware that it's a problem? Is Microsoft aware that the App Store is a disaster?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It sucks because it really takes away from the experience. People like to go and download everything. They enjoy that. People like to find new applications. People like a new spotlight. They want to find new things. They're not doing a good job at profiling things, and they're not doing a good job at having the applications in the store. I don't know if it's going to get better for them. I mean, but the Windows Store on desktop is not that great either.
Actually, it's worse.
Yeah.
If you can believe that.
That's a major problem.
It's starting to change. I mean, very slowly, but yeah. The window, let's just call this whole thing the Windows Store, and it's the weak link. It's the Achilles heel in this whole strategy. You know, people are very excited for universal apps to kind of come in and, you know, be the game changer. But what we've seen from universal apps so far has not been very promising.
So, I mean, I hate to be negative because I absolutely love this thing. Like, I really love the phone. I love the experience. I love the customization I could do. You know, I could pretty much have that thing look the way that I want it to work. It really is, you know, like Android is customizable. This is also very customizable. There's a lot of back-end access that you could get. You could change a lot of things on this phone. You could have two different phones, the same exact thing, but you could have it look completely different.
Right.
Which I like about that. Other than that, I mean, it that sucks, right? Because it's such a good phone, but that app store is going to be its problem.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm going to continue using this. I'm going to use this for a month like this. I'm going to walk around with this thing for a month everywhere I go. And I'm doing two experiments. One, if the app store thing becomes better for me, because now that I've seen it and I've used it, I've kind of gotten used to it. I guess you become numb to the problem.
You become
numb.
Yep. Numbness occurs.
And I want to see how far I could go with just using Wi-Fi in this thing. That's a cool experiment. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. You know, no, it's a great phone. It's obviously kind of a heavy phone. It's a big phone, you know. But it is that high end, you know, phone, and the performance is there. The camera's excellent, as you'll discover if you haven't already. You know, it's mostly really good. I mean, this is the phone a little over a year ago. I actually paid and bought one of these new. And for much of this past year, that was my phone, you know, when that was, you know, my primary smartphone.
And now I'm going to be using it. So I'm going to, you know, be getting updates about this thing every week.
All right.
Every week until I, you know, I say that I hate it and you could have it back, Paul. I send it to you in a box.
I don't need it back. I have another one. Yeah.
It's a great phone. So let's see how it goes for me. I have a question for you. And I saw this question pop up this week on a couple of websites and a couple of people, and I've been asked this question before, and I really don't have an answer. And I think you may have written something about it recently about it. You know, the 1 year upgrade for Windows 10 is coming. We're approaching a year, right? July was the date. Yeah, the 1 year anniversary. And what happens after the year? What happens with the free upgrade?
Well, I mean, obviously, for those people that have acquired Windows 10, nothing happens, right? I think I don't know that people are still worried about this, but just to be obvious about it, Microsoft doesn't turn on the subscription, you know, model or something. I mean, you got Windows 10 for free. You own it for free for the supported lifetime of that device, whatever that may be.
But people are starting to freak out. They think that a subscription will be happening.
Yep, it's not happening.
Yeah, somebody mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and to me, personally, they go, well, yeah, they're going to do a subscription. That's going to be the platform. And I go, well, where did you read
that's
that?
Not it. In fact, this dates back to January 2014 when they first announced they were going to be doing this. And Mary Jo Foley and I were actually the first people on Earth to confirm, because we left and immediately started talking to someone from Microsoft after the announcement and clarified that right away. And so, you know, for 13 months now, it has been a fact that Microsoft has never planned to charge a subscription. That is not the plan. It's never been the plan. It's not going to become the plan. That makes no sense, no matter how you slice it. It's not happening.
For Windows,
don't worry
10.
About that.
Yeah.
The question is, though, what happens for the rest of the world, right? So, some, and actually, I should say, just to kind of give a bit of nuance to this, there is – one problem that needs to be resolved, which is this. Let's say that sometime over the past year you have taken one of your existing computers. It came with Windows 7 or Windows 8.1 and or whatever, Windows 8, doesn't matter. And you upgrade it to Windows 10.
Okay.
Now some amount of time goes by. And we are now past that July 2016 date, right?
Yeah.
You want to blow it away and go back to the to Windows 10. Like, you want to do a clean install.
But you already have Windows 10 on this machine.
You already have Windows 10 on there. You know, you're gonna actually clean install Windows 10. Like, it's gonna, you know, you're gonna start over. We do this from time to time in the PC world. The issue is that over the past 6-7 months, people have done that. And it hasn't worked. It hasn't activated. And so they contact Microsoft support.
So wait,
and Microsoft support says, you got to go back to your original OS first and upgrade. Now, that is not actually the deal that Microsoft made with all of this.
So what method are they using to just do a clean install? Are they going through the Windows, I guess, recovery thing and just say, blow everything away and start over? Or are they doing like a format?
I mean, no. In other words, you download the ISO. You create install media, typically with a USB flash drive.
Okay.
You actually do like a nuke from space kind of thing. The other instance in which this might happen is you're out there and you've got a Windows 7 or Windows 8 or Windows 8.1 PC. You hear that for 1 year, Microsoft is going to provide this upgrade for free. And you think, well, I don't actually want to run Windows 10 now, but I do want that Windows 10 upgrade for free because a year from now or whatever, I might want to take advantage of that.
Yeah,
Yeah. And the only way to get your PC registered with the system is to literally upgrade it to Windows 10. And then, so you do that just to make sure your system, you know, your system's in the registry there. And then you blow it away and you go back to Windows 7 or whatever you were running before. And time goes on. And then the day comes where you're like, you know, I think I will like to take advantage of that Windows 10 upgrade. I did the right thing. I installed it previously. That's what Microsoft required of me. I'm gonna do that install right now. And then it says, yeah, you can do this, but you're going to have to pay for the upgrade. That'll be $99. It's like, whoa, hold on a second. Mm. I did this before. I did the right thing, you know? And so I think there's a technical issue where people are not getting that clean install, or let's call it later, an upgrade right that they should have. And I don't know why that's happening, but it's happened to a lot of people. So not for that reason, but in part because that is happening, I think that Microsoft, I'm speculating to be clear. I think that Microsoft needs to rethink this whole upgrades are only free for 1 year. Yeah. I think that when you consider how Windows has evolved and that the plan is to always give upgrades to Windows 10 going forward for free, that should just be the plan for all people on a supported version of Windows, right? We're not going to go back to Windows Vista or XP, but if you're on Windows 7 and Windows 7 is still supported, and it's 2017, and you want to upgrade, you should get that for free because it's better for Microsoft that you be on Windows 10. You know, you did pay for Windows, right? The goal here is always people pay for Windows once and then they're in the club, you know? So this person did pay for Windows. They got it with the PC, or they got it however they got it.
However they got it,
It shouldn't matter what version it is anymore because to Microsoft, it doesn't matter what version it is anymore, period. It's just Windows 10 now, you know. And my guess is that, when July comes, I can't imagine a scheme where they go back and say, okay, you wanted to upgrade to Windows 10, that'll be $99. I just can't imagine that.
Yeah, I don't see, like, you know, people have the pop-up update now, whatever. July comes, that goes away. You click on it and it says $99. I don't see that.
What if
it
doesn't go away? What if it's September, October next year and you still have that stupid pop-up, you still can't get rid of it, and when you do click on it, that's what it says. It'll be $99. Or God help you if you have Pro, that'll be $120 or whatever the price is, $150 or whatever. No one buys Windows, you know? I mean, you know, people who build their own computer buy Windows, but that's a full install Windows. Yeah, it's fine. Like, that's obviously when you buy a new computer, it comes with Windows. You have in fact purchased Windows. That's part of what you got with the computer.
But those people are always going to buy Windows. You know, you build your computer, they're always going to buy Windows.
Those people are also some tiny slice of the population, right? I mean, statistically, kind of irrelevant. So, and that thing that they're buying is not an upgrade. It's the full version of Windows. That thing has value. It should be charged for. I have no problem with that. That's not what I'm saying. I do think everyone needs to buy it once on the device. You know, That, in other words, you consider this PC I'm looking at right now, or this laptop you just bought, or this computer you're going to buy because you're going to play games on it. It is right and correct that you should have to buy Windows, you know, for that device or with that device.
With that device.
But then you're done. I mean, for the supported lifetime of that device, you're done.
Is that the future of, you know, of this platform now? I mean, because I think the problem, again, once again, is lack of communication as to what the future holds.
Well,
and I think that's why people start freaking out about, you know, how they're installing and what installs are on what machine and how to do it. So from this point on, if I have Windows on a computer, I will always get an upgrade. That's just how it's going to go until they say, well, no more.
So what I'm talking about is basically, in other words, that is the plan.
It's
if you buy a Windows 10 PC, that's the plan. So let's just grandfather everyone who's on a supported version of Windows. There's a definite life cycle to it, because if you acquired Windows 7 with a new computer a year ago, maybe, or whenever it was, or Windows 8.1, it doesn't matter. The lifetime of that thing being supported is a very finite period of time. It's some several years left or something. I don't remember the exact dates. Since it will always be better for Microsoft if you get on Windows 10, since it will always be better for everyone using Windows, actually for everyone on the internet, that you be on Windows 10, there should be no point at which that free offer expires. You should be getting Windows 10, and then you should be getting free updates. You know, this is the way it should work, I think. So as of now, the plan is that July, whatever the date is, July 31st or whatever, is the cutoff date. After that date, you'll supposedly have to pay for Windows 10 upgrades when you buy them. Not updates, upgrades.
Upgrades, right? Yeah.
And I think what's going to happen if they do that is that people on Windows 7, people on Windows 8.1 are going to stay there for the lifetime of that device.
Oh, yeah. Those people aren't going to go and buy it. Yeah.
They're not going to. No one statistically. I don't mean no one literally, but basically no one after that date would ever go to Windows 10 on that computer. And so what they'll do is wait until they get a new computer, and then that will come with Windows 10. And the way they've structured the licensing with Skylake and everything, Windows 10 is it. They've ensured going forward you can only get Windows 10.
But doesn't that go backwards as to, I mean, the whole point of being so aggressive is to bring people over to the new platform so it makes it easier for them. So if there is a certain cutoff and then they say, well, no, sorry, guys, after this, you got to go and upgrade. Kind of, it was like this mad rush, and then now it's like, oh, you missed it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think that that's going to happen?
I see them extending
it a couple times.
I see them extending it basically indefinitely, or basically for the lifetime of those OS, because it just doesn't matter. You know, the reason you have the free upgrade in the beginning is because you want the numbers. The reason you continue the free upgrade is because everyone is better off if people are on a modern version of Windows, period. And it's better for Microsoft if we're all in the exact same version of Windows.
I mean, that's the Apple method, and it works great for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's phenomenal.
It's the Android method too, by the way. It's just that in the smartphone world, a wireless carrier can get between you and the upgrades.
It also seems like in the smartphone, it's interesting, right? Because in the smartphone world, it's more acceptable to get an upgrade. Like the latest version comes and everybody goes to it. Unless there's some major problem, obviously, right? But it's a rarity for someone to say, well, no, I don't want to get Marshmallow. I want to stay on so-and-so. Even for iOS, like nobody's saying, you know, oh, iOS 7, I'm sticking with them. Forget about iOS 8.
Yep.
You know, nobody's
iOS
doing that.
iOS 7 was perfect. I don't want anything new.
I don't want anything new.
People don't think that way. I mean,
the PC
problem,
side
of course,
is very different.
Yeah. Well, if you were to put up shots of Windows 7, Windows 8, and Windows 10 side by side, obviously there are some similarities, but there are also some very glaring differences. And I think people, for whatever reason, when it comes to PCs, have a really hard time with those changes, you know. And they've certainly screwed the pooch in some ways. I mean, Windows 8 was a terrible upgrade for a lot of people. And I think everyone's a little gun-shy after that one. But, you know, change is hard. I mean, at some point, it's just for the greater good, you know. And it's not like it's horrible. I mean, even Windows 8, for all of the complaints and everything, because of the way that I work, and I use Windows all day long every single day, I really had no problem using it myself, but I kind of understood why people were complaining, because, you know, we get stuck in our you know, our kind of habits and workflows and all that kind of stuff. It's understandable. But it's funny how adaptable we are on phones. You
know? Amazing, yeah.
I go back and forth between Android and iOS and Windows Phone regularly. I have no problems with it. Like you, I do notice the app thing on Windows Phone. But I prefer the Live Tiles interface of Windows Phone as well. But I can use any of these phones. It's fine. Yeah. I have no problem with it. Every so often there'll be an upgrade to iOS, or every so often there's every single day there are app updates. We have no problem with those.
I think on the PC side,
it is with Windows. It's taking us a little
long term conditioning, Paul. 30 years of doing the same exact thing. You know,
I know, but we're so okay with it elsewhere. I don't understand why Windows PCs it becomes the problem.
Yeah, I think this is I think this is a thing that's going to go away over time, where the concept of no, I'm going to buy a brand new computer and I'm going to downgrade it immediately, because this is what I know and this is what I like, that idea is definitely going to go away. It's just a matter of when. When does it go away? Let's see what happens with that at that point. Paul, there's a new Windows update that came out today. I just saw people messaging. Well, any significant things to this update?
So they have provided a list of what was included in this update, which, by the way, is the first time they've ever done that. There are different versions for the RTM version of Windows 10, which is only in use by businesses at this point, I would imagine. And then for the 15.11 version, right, which is the one that came out in November. But I'm actually on the insider preview, so I'm not getting this update. But
I wonder if I have this
now. I don't.
Oh, I have it here. Yeah, I'm not going to do it
it's
now.
Mostly, it's mostly bug fixes.
It's just bug fixes.
Like. Quality improvements.
It's interesting still. The whole debacle with the update, I think it's still fascinating to me how people are upgrading. Just the Windows 10 update process, you know?
Yeah.
It's all over the place. People love it, people hate it. And there's no in-between, apparently, with this. It's interesting. I want to talk to you about something that I was thinking about. You know, the way that we use the internet is constantly changing. We went from it being a very resourceful tool to learn things to looking at, you know, cat pictures all day long on Reddit. And I was thinking, and I saw two things happen and it over the last couple of weeks. And I see this happen on Facebook where, you know, someone will post something. There's a new fruit in the jungles and they discovered it and it's going to cure cancer. And all these people start sharing it. All these people, right. I mean, they generally believe it. You know, I saw a couple things like that this week of political stuff, which I never get political online. My political beliefs are my political beliefs. Who am I to tell you you're wrong?
You libertarian bastard.
Yeah, how dare you?
typical left-wing nut job.
For me, this is who I am. But I see a lot of like crazy stuff there. And it's such a blatant made up story where people just don't. How do you think it's real? You know what I mean? Like, we use the internet, I would assume that we get smarter when it comes to detecting things.
No,
like this.
No, we don't. We get dumber, and we get dumber in ways that are obvious and ways that are inobvious. First of all, when all of the world's information is at your fingertips, why learn anything? You can look up anything at any time. Why know how to drive anywhere? You have Google Maps in your car.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But the other thing is, you know, the thing you got to remember is like that kind of stupidity is the thing you're talking about, the sharing on social media kind of stuff. That's been going on forever. I mean, in the old days, we used to have to send a letter on a boat that went across the ocean to a different continent before someone could get the dumbness. But now we can spread dumbness in, you know, like that. People fell for chain letters all the time. All the time. And they used to be actual letters sent in the mail. You know, the ability to put them out on the internet is the perfect storm because, A, you have the volume, just the sheer volume of online connectivity. You can reach everybody very quickly. But you also are feeding on people's just inherent, ignorance. I mean,
I just think it's impulse,
we're really kind of
right?
dumb, you know?
It's an impulse thing. I mean, I've fallen for stuff like that. I've read something. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And you look at it, It says CNN, but it's like CNNnews.tz, you know, but the website.
You also, and I don't mean you. I mean we. And I want to include myself in this,
call me an idiot,
too,
because, Paul. Please.
No, one. I was going to say one, but really it's we. It's all of us. It's me, too. It's you and me, and it's everyone listening. It's everyone. We as humans are hardwired to believe something that falls within our worldview. We will give less rational thought to something that confirms our biases than we will to something that is an affront to our biases, you know? And so if you're, it's hard to say this without using like political stuff. So I'm trying not to do this like politically, but let's use it in the terms of, you know, Windows Phone, just because it's, you know, a tech topic. People are really hot-headed about Windows Phone right now because, you know, as the platform is dying, and it is, you know, the people who are left, the people who are still defending it, the people who, against all logic, are trying to explain to you that everything is just fine. I mean, those by nature are the diehards.
Yeah.
You know, their personalities are very much wrapped up in this thing. And so when I write something that to me is not negative, but is rather clear-headed, of course I would give it a positive term because I wrote it. But I mean, to me, when I'm just being honest about it, I don't really see that this is inflammatory. But to those people, it's like you're the enemy now, you know? Thought you were like this big Windows Phone guy, but apparently you're just a Benedict Arnold, you freaking jerk.
Yeah.
And it's like, because you're not meshing with their worldview anymore. And people, you know, it's almost religious for these people. I mean, it speaks to their ego, to who they are as a person, to their values. It's emotional. It's not logical. And
it's fascinating to me because, you know, and you see this behavior constantly online, and it's, you're right. In the tech world, it's fascinating.
I'm just using that as an example. This is real life stuff.
But it's a really, it's a great example. No, but it's a great example, right? Because in the tech world, it's very cult-like. You know, you have the Mac guy. And I feel like it just becomes so ridiculous at a point where you're getting angry over the fact that my opinion is not the same as yours when it comes to using a computer.
I know. Like, because, you know, again, a big part of your personality may be wrapped up in that thing, you know?
I mean, I get it. You know,
Look, I do it too. I because of what I do for a living, because of my position, I've had to deal with people who are very enthusiastic about these technology platforms. Excuse me one second. My whole family has left. That is the town of Denham. I'm going to ignore that. You're probably wondering why your Fios is down.
Yeah.
But it's always been people on the other side, right? So over the years, I would deal with the Linux guys. They were nuts. I would deal with the Mac guys. They were insane. Apple people in general have been very irritating over the years. They just, you know, they're so, like you said, cultish, you know. The thing I've always been able to fall back on is that people who are in the Microsoft sphere, who are Windows fans or whatever, have, in my mind, made good decisions, good technology decisions. Yeah. And it was more logical than it was emotional. It was more pragmatic. It was based on what I thought of as, you know, almost scientific values, you know. But the truth is we're no different. I mean, the truth is we're no different. These people are as evangelical about their stuff, some of them are, as some of the nuts are on the other side. There are nuts everywhere. This is a collection of mixed nuts. Yeah. There's no, you know, it's not Apple nuts and Linux nuts and Windows nuts. They're just nuts.
It's interesting. And, I mean, how passionate people get about certain things. Yeah. And this isn't, I mean, you don't see this in the real world. I mean, to this extent, right? Like, there are people I talk to every day. Paul, I'm going to
Why are there pictures? Why are there things in the back of cars that is Calvin peeing on a Ford logo?
On a Ford. Yeah, I guess so.
There are people who, who will not drink Pepsi in a restaurant because they prefer Coke.
But that's a preference. But is that person going to go up to the person drinking Coca-Cola and say, "What the F is wrong with you? What are you freaking
Some of them
crazy?"
Would, yeah.
And start,
I mean,
and go nuts
I just don't think we're not involved in that community, right? I mean, it's Star Wars versus Star Trek. It's you know, I'm just trying to think of other examples that are just not technology. But I mean, I think these things are out there. Legos versus Duplo. I don't know if this is the same thing. I don't know. I mean, I just, some of the, unfortunately, all these examples.
I sometimes get bummed out because I think maybe I'm just not passionate enough about something. Like, you could tell me I suck, and I'm like, yeah, I kind of suck. That's fine. All right. Like, even with what I do for a living, sure. Like, I get the emails from you know, people like, oh, F you. And then, like, you know, like, I'm pretty thick skinned about this stuff. All right. I suck. All right. You don't have to listen. You don't have to like me, but whatever. I don't like everybody. It's a preference. We got 220 people in here. I'm sure 90% of them hate me.
I hope it's not 90%.
But it's interesting, right? Like the internet culture that we have created online. Yes. And I think social media has, and I'm really thick skinned about this stuff, whatever. No, but, I don't really get a lot of the negativity, right? Like I get like the, you suck. And I'm like, all right, that's great. And I'm done. But I see vile things happening. Like I see just like out of nowhere. And listen, there are people out there that do it to get something out of you, right? Like there are people that say like, Paul, F you, blah, 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 blah. And they're just doing it to sure. get something out of you. And I witnessed something on social media the other day. And this person was so genuine about what they genuinely meant. Like this person should just go and like, I don't want to say exactly what it was, but it was more along the lines of, hey, you used to be really cute and you've gotten old and you effed up your face. You should be behind a camera. And this is someone in a little bubble, you know, or like the little tech bubble. And I'm thinking that, and I go, this guy genuinely felt the need to say, I'm gonna tweet this to this person right now, and I'm gonna think this is gonna go over well.
I think, yeah. I mean, some of us have left our senses at the door, unfortunately. I was sort of thinking, you know, as you were describing this originally, I was thinking back, you know, there was an interim thing between social media and the old days of sending around letters, right? Yeah. There was just like email chain letters, right? And someone without, you know, in the same vein, without naming names, you know, someone in my family would send out these, let's call them political nut job emails, you know, trying to, for some reason, like everyone else in the family disagrees with this person politically, but for some reason they still felt the need to send these things out all the time. And finally, my wife had enough, and she started researching every single thing that this person sent out and debunked every single one of them, like immediately. And then she stopped getting the emails, you know, and I think the saddest thing, we've talked about this before, but it just bears repeating. I think the saddest thing that happens in this, you can have whatever you want world at any moment, at any time, is that you only see the things you want to hear, you know, you only see the things that you agree with.
And that, see, that's you the know, amazing again,
it's,
thing.
It's hard
the internet
to say
is so open, right? The internet is so open, and we have the
it's
availability.
All there, but you
like
don't,
my Twitter,
you don't want it, do you? You don't. Want
you know
it.
What? Though? I do welcome. I do want it though. Personally, I do want it. Like my Twitter is filled
you.
With
I'm
people
sorry.
On the
I
right. Mean, most people, yeah. My Twitter feed is filled with left wing people, right wing people, right wing way more conservative people than me, way left progressives than me. When you talk about politics, I have Mac users, I have Android, and I'm just reading it and. I like getting other people's point of view. That's just how I am. Like, for example, when I use Reddit, I don't logging into my account because it caters to me.
No one is like you.
No,
I mean,
no.
I am the same way. No, I mean, most people aren't, right? I use all of these computing platforms so I can speak intelligently about them. Most people are just on their thing. And that, you know, it's like a person from the United States saying, the United States is the greatest country on earth, you know? Have you ever traveled anywhere? Oh, no, I would never leave this country. Okay, so your opinion is a little lacking in nuance, you know? I mean, you should at least experience some other places before you make these bald claims. I mean, with, you know, technology is the same thing, you know? Oh, you know, I don't use a Windows machine. I use a Mac because Windows machines always get viruses. I'm always fascinated by that because I use Windows machines every day. My whole family does. We don't have viruses. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, like people get these kind of, they get locked into these little, you know, their mentality kind of thing. I was writing about Linux Mint the other day. I don't test or use Linux as much as I used to, but seeing a bunch of stuff about this recently, I installed it in a virtual machine and I played with it a little bit. And you know, it's like, oh, you know, I'm like kind of ragging on it, you know, because I just don't really see the point. And it's like, well, when was the last time you used this? Well, you know, I mean, like, I don't think people get, like, I don't know. Like you, I subscribe to the New York Times, which a lot of people would describe as a very left-leaning newspaper. I also subscribe to the Wall Street Journal, right? Which I think most people would describe as a very right-leaning newspaper. I think these two things together achieve some sort of a balance. And they're both terrible in their own ways, and they're both kind of excellent in their own ways.
So here's my question to you, okay? Let's talk about social media and the cesspool that it is on many occasions.
Sure.
Is this the evolution of social media? It's only gotten worse. Social networking. It's only gotten worse. Like, you look at, and I'm telling you, go look at any model, their Instagram profile, right? Click on any photo and look at the comments. Just read it is just unbearable. Like, it's beyond belief. Is that something that is going to slowly get better when people say, like, well, I can say whatever the hell I want, so I'm going to tell this girl that she needs to lose about 25 pounds. Is that going to get old to people, the fact that they have this voice now? Or is it just going to continue on getting worse? It's interesting. That portion of this fascinates me.
I actually think the anonymity of the internet is the biggest problem. And I feel that there should be requirements for identity verification, and that some random troll shouldn't be able to hop on Facebook or Instagram or anything and just shit all over somebody because, you know, whatever. You know, these thoughts used to be private. they probably weren't quite as bitter, but whatever. I mean, I do think it's a problem. I do think it's something that gets solved.
Yeah. I find the whole thing fascinating. The fact that this is what it's come to for. I mean, Facebook makes a lot of sense, right? Because Facebook, you could close it. It's totally closed. You don't allow people in there. And I get that. But I mean, I've had wackos on Facebook. I had a guy that he pretty much stalked me for about a year and a half because I'm on a hair loss medication. Like, that's serious. Like, this is not an example. Like, I'm on Propecia, and I've been really vocal about it. I did it preventatively, so I don't lose my hair. And this guy has lost his mind, and he literally would tell me that he's going to murder me. I have blood on my hands. I'm responsible for chemically castrating young. I mean, the guy is nuts. The guy is a total lunatic for a year and a half, and then he just went away. He would make different accounts. He would get through somehow. I have no idea how it happened. How he would get in on everything. And this went on for like a while, and I was like, okay, this guy's nuts, so I would just ignore it. But after a while, you're thinking, it takes so much energy to do that. At what point does Facebook or these websites say, okay, you know what, we have to do something, because what we have right now doesn't work? You know, it's fascinating.
First of all, you are... publicly projecting your personality every day on the internet. And so, unfortunately, I mean, you're not a supermodel on Instagram exactly. But,
oh, yes, I am.
You know, but you're trending in that direction. And, you know, I don't know. When you put yourself out there like that, you have to expect a little bit of this kind of behavior. I mean, the bigger problem, I think, is normal people and the way we interact and the way we do things. Like, when we drive in our cars, especially where I live, you know, people drive like idiots. It's like they feel safe and insulated from the other person. And so they can do something stupid. Whereas if you were standing there in person with them, they would probably bend over backwards to help you if you had a problem or whatever. They would probably be okay. But in the car, they turn into insane people, as they do here. I think the internet is kind of the same way. And it's tough online. Like, I see this myself. I keep my Facebook profile private. It's for my friends and family, primarily for people I know. And it's for the stuff that I do put out to the world, look, we're summering in Europe. Hey, look, I went on a great trip. Hey, look, I'm having sushi.
Yeah.
A lot of it could be perceived as my life is better than your life, right? Which isn't my point, but of course, I look at what other people are posting and I kind of see what they're doing in the same light as well. And so you have to kind of come to terms with that. I think this falls under the technology immaturity thing that I've talked about
Absolutely,
before.
Yeah.
You know,
it's still new.
Walking with smartphones and walking into walls. I think we're still kind of dealing with this stuff. 15 plus years ago, when I lived in Phoenix and we just had a baby, I put up a website so that was just kind of public. I didn't advertise it, so nobody would really see it. But I put it up so my parents and my family back home could see pictures of the baby.
Yeah.
And there was no Facebook back then. There was no, you know, making a private website was actually fairly difficult still. And, you know, over time, you kind of evolve that stuff. And so by keeping this stuff private, so, such as it is on Facebook, you achieve some sort of insulation from the outside world, but you still have to deal with the way that people that you do know perceive what you're doing. And for all I know, there's some number of people out there who look at what I post on Facebook and are like, screw that guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, same for Twitter. Same for Twitter, same for Facebook. I think that we, you know, the evolution of the internet and the way that internet culture exists as we know it today will be very different in 20 years from now. And I think with more of a understanding of how these services work, I get the anonymity argument on both sides, but I do think that we are slowly going to realize that, hey, I don't need to say everything every second when I think about it. You know, every thought that pops in my head, it doesn't require a tweet or an FU to somebody. You know, it just you don't do that in real life. I think that it's going, the way that you behave in real life is going to start reflecting more online. Obviously, they're going to be the assholes in real life, and they're going to be like that online. I think the shift is going to be normal people that you normally don't consider to be a total wacko. They're no longer going to start behaving like wackos because this is going to be part of our everyday life. This is going to be totally normal. I think that's what's changing with the trend. And I hope it does because, listen, like I told you, Instagram, YouTube. I mean, you look at these comments and it's like, holy cow. We don't really get it as much.
No, but hold on a second. Hold on. But my... Who is putting pictures of themselves on Instagram? These are not, you know, you have to have some kind of an ego to think that what you have to say, that what you have to show, that what you've done is interesting to other people. You know, I know from my own kids who are teenagers now that they do everything very privately. So it's Snapchat, it's ephemeral, it comes and it goes, it's nothing. You know, from when my son Mark was sick and he was in the hospital recently, I put a picture of him up, and I, for the same reason I started that website 15 plus years ago for him, which was I wanted his family to understand what was happening. And he was actually kind of upset with me about that because I put this picture of him up. And I was like, Mark, you don't understand, first of all, that people need to know what's going on with you, and B, that there are people out there who really care about you and want to express. He actually complained at one point that people he didn't even know were sending him well-wisher type notes.
But and it you was know like, dude, you that, need to... See, that's fascinating to me because that is a total shift from my generation.
Yeah.
And that's
but
the amazing
thing. But I
think
it's because this stuff was new for your generation. And I think for my son's generation, this is just there. You know? And they treat it a little bit differently. They're very... it's interesting. You would assume that kids of the internet generation... would just, I don't mean you, right? I mean, I'm sorry, I should say, one would assume that these kids would live their lives very publicly. But because, and you know, because how could you kind of avoid it? There's all this technology, there were webcams everywhere and, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And, you know, that's actually not what happens. They're very private. And, you know, for me, growing up in like the 1980s in a similar position to my son today, if you could have said to me, look at this technology. You have these computers that are awesome, and phones, and tablets, and cameras. And you can, you know, you don't, when you take a photo at something that you think is important, you don't have to bring it to a store and wait for them to develop it and come back a day later. And then the way you share it is you make duplicates. And you know, if you could have shown me this stuff, I would have been so blown away and so excited to use it. But my kids have it and they're like, yeah, okay. You know, so I mean, they really do approach it differently.
You know, I have a, you know, this is what I do for a living. So I'm online and I'm, you know, I have my Facebook, I have an Instagram, I have all that stuff. You know, right. I have friends that they have Instagram and they only allow certain, you know, their friends to see it. And I'm in the middle here, right? Like I'm in between you and your kid. So for us. Like we are like, I can't imagine what life would have been like if YouTube existed and camera phones existed when I was a teenager. It would have been horrible. It would have been, I mean, just horrible to have that stuff documented, because it was still new. And everybody, you know, that's what you would do. You would record something and put it on. You think it's funny. And 10 years later, it's not so funny for you anymore. I think we're maturing when it comes to that stuff. I'm just curious on how the culture online is going to mature. Just something to think about.
Yeah.
I like to think about that kind of things. Yeah.
Yeah, the worry I have, though, is that people aren't going to challenge themselves, and they already aren't. And
well, no.
There's no benefit in it. All it does is aggravate you, you know?
Yeah.
I could go on Facebook right now and be aggravated just by what, by oversharing or the sort of celebration of the mundane or whatever it is, you know? You know, we have friends that I love dearly in my own way, but they're very competitive, you know, everything's like a competition. And it's, you know, it's just too bad.
Yeah. Interesting discussion. All right, boys and girls, we're going to do our post show. We're going to do a throwback. If you're watching live, stay tuned. We're going to continue doing it. If you're listening to the podcast, you could access the bonus show, What the Talk, by going to patreon.com/whatthetech. That's patreon.com/whatthetech. You could access it there by tipping us. You could tip us whatever you want to tip us. And get access to it. Everything Paul at The Rot. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm a very tired Andrew Zarian today. I'm exhausted. At Andrew Zarian on Twitter. You can subscribe. The podcast is available everywhere. We'll see y'all next week. Take care.